Hey, welcome to the Comic Syllabus Podcast, where we try to read a lot of different kinds of comics and think deeply about them as deeply as we can. I'm joined today by my brother, who is a fun person for me to talk to about comics. My brother and I do this thing here at the Comic Syllabus Podcast called The Waitlist, where we talk about the trade paperbacks and collections that my brother Sonny, how you doing, Sonny?
Hey guys,
has on his trade waiting list. And today actually we're going to revisit something that we mentioned before on a previous wait list, which is Green Lantern Earth 1 Volume 1 by Gabriel Hardman, Karina Becco, and Jordan Boyd from DC Comics. Came out a little while ago. Sonny, do you remember when this came out?
I do not. I want to say, no, don't quote me on it. Never mind.
Yes. Earlier this year. Fair to say? Something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, earlier this year. And then we're going to actually get into some recommendations for collections that are coming out in this month. And then we're kind of adding a new twist to the waitlist, which is that I threw over at my brother a couple of issue number ones for him to read and to decide if that new title or new series or new arc is something that he's going to want to pick up the trade of eventually. So kind of a new twist to the waitlist. So I'm always glad when my brother and I can chat about comics. How's it going, Sonny?
It's going
pretty good. We're feeling pretty good off of the Warriors championship, right?
Yep.
Trying to read the tea leaves and figure out where Kawhi Leonard is going. But that's a different podcast. Life is good?
Life is good.
Okay.
Yeah. I looked up Earth 1 Green Lantern.
Yes.
It came out March 20th, 2018.
Awesome. Thank you. Oh. Research.
Research. That's what that typing is, I swear. I'm not on Facebook or anything.
Okay. Once upon a time, we did that, but that's all right. We're upping our professionalism episode by episode. Well, Sonny, this was a great kind of common book for us to touch base on, and we've been saying that in addition to doing these waitlist segments, you know, it'd be fun to kind of like read a little bit more deeply and kind of examine a little bit more deeply some title together. And I feel like Green Lantern Earth 1 Volume 1 is like the perfect common ground compromise.
Why is it the perfect common ground compromise for you?
Well, for me, because the creators Gabriel Hardman and Karina Becco are a couple of favorites for me.
Okay.
And I normally, you know, this is what I'm alluding to, but I'm normally not a Green Lantern guy, right?
Correct.
But I was really interested in their spin on it. And I feel like among all the Earth 1 titles, and now we've seen Superman Earth 1, Batman Earth 1, Teen Titans Earth 1, and Wonder Woman Earth 1, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like this is the most original twist, the furthest departure from the, you know, sort of the original character from Golden Age or Silver Age or whatever.
Yeah.
Would you say, would that be fair to say for you?
Yeah, I'd say it's furthest away. I haven't read Superman.
Oh, okay.
But that's okay.
Yeah, that's all right. I want to say that's, who did that? Was that Johns?
I think so.
Yeah, and maybe Gary Frank or maybe artist, I forgot the husband and wife team. Anyway, and it's something, it's actually, I feel like Green Lantern among all those characters, including the Teen Titans, is the character whose like sort of background and origin I understand the least, you know? Mm-hmm. So whether or not, I had to actually look up a couple times as I was reading, like, is this from their original origin story or is this like the unique spin here? So maybe you can educate us on some of those finer points.
I will do my best.
Well, you want to talk about why this is common ground for you?
This is common ground for me because Green Lantern's one of my favorite characters.
Right.
And I think I don't really care which one, so yeah. Maybe there's a really strong bias for me then.
Uh-huh. You mean which Green Lantern, Hal or Jimmy or Joe or...
Nice, right. we got a long way to go.
Johnny Stewart, is that his name?
Close, you're close.
The guy with the hair.
Right.
And you know, one of the things, I don't know, we say this every time, but we haven't this time so far, is that despite the fact that we're both comic book readers and brothers, we have like very different, very divergent tastes, right?
Yeah.
So that this is why the searching for in the dark for a common ground. And you know, we'll see if whether or not this, you know, sort of satisfied both of us from our very, coming from our very different places. But yeah.
So this is where. So at least it's your favorite creative team, or not favorite, but at least it's a creative team that you like.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is a hero that I like.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're doing it.
We're doing it. We're doing it. Definitely. We're doing it. Yeah. This is a beautiful family, common ground thing that's happening here. So I guess, Sonny, I don't know how you want to start talking about Green Lantern Earth One. If you want to talk about the plot and the ways that it is and isn't like the Green Lantern of your lore, your canon, your understanding, you know?
Okay.
Or whether you want to start off by rendering the judgment on it and whether or not you liked it or not.
I keep stuttering. Sorry. Let me start with the render, whether or not I like it or not.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. So I think my initial take on this is I like it, and this is probably the easier direction to go in if they were ever to make another Green Lantern movie, live action movie.
I like this. Okay. Tell me why. Tell me what to say more about that.
I think what I like about it is it shrinks the Green Lantern universe a little bit.
Uh-huh.
At least in the beginning. And, you know, there's obviously, I think it goes without saying there'll be spoilers yes. throughout this talk.
Sure. Let's do that.
Mm-hmm. So spoiler alert. but yeah, it shrinks the universe, and you know, whereas I think the original, or not the original, but the Hal Jordan Green Lantern, you know, Green Lantern is stepping into something that's been well established for, you know, thousands of years in the universe.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
This Earth One, we're kind of, you know, at a good starting point for the Lantern Corps itself. And, mm-hmm. and so we get to follow Hal Jordan as things are being established.
Right. Right.
And I think that would make it easier to kind of follow. And then the other thing is they simplified the green constructs too. So then you're not having to, you know, I'm thinking about CG effects, right? Like, right. I don't think you would lose too much if you just kept it to beams and whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. The green Lantern constructs, which can be some of the cooler and also some of the sillier parts of Green Lantern, right? Are pretty much pared down to like just a blast and maybe like the earliest developments of being able to like make a brick out of them or something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then I think kind of like you said earlier, it is one of the more, or it has a very different take than the original character.
Right.
But I like it. There's a little bit of I want to say, and I'm kind of I'm dating myself when I say this, but I'm a little too young to really remember like the Alien mm-hmm. movies.
Yeah. No,
but it felt like that a little bit, at least early on.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't want to get, you know, I don't want to get too far into the comic before I let you have a chance.
Okay.
Your general
evaluation is positive. I mean, I like what you said as far as like imagining this as, should this be remade as a movie? Should we have another shot, assuming without Ryan Reynolds and without I don't remember how long ago that movie was, that attempt at Green Lantern that was 2000 and something. And you saw that, right?
No.
Right, it was so poorly reviewed. I was like, I don't even want to, you know, even further alienate me from Green Lantern by watching this terrible movie, right?
The only things, there's probably like two good things that came out of it.
Yeah.
Was the Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively meeting.
Okay, right. Were they an item for a while? I'm so ignorant in Hollywood.
Oh, they're married with two kids.
Oh, hello.
They're like a power couple.
Well, that worked out. That was a good construct that came out of that.
Right, and then the continued memes of Marvel capitalizing on actors who played other superheroes before, and then finally finding their niche as superheroes.
Yeah, because he's so much better as Deadpool than as
Hal Jordan. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. I never really saw it either, but I do know exactly what you mean in that, like, there is a quality about this retelling that is very cinematic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know, it makes sense. Hardman, I think, does storyboards for movies, and I want to say Becco has some screenwriting experience.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember. I told you before they're a married couple.
Nope.
Yeah.
You did tell me. I don't remember. Sorry. You did tell me.
You only listen to half of the things I tell you. But yeah, Karina Becko and Gabriel Hardman are a married couple. And, you know, I've read kind of like a bunch of different things. They've done a big variety of different things. But probably most notably that I've talked about on this podcast is an Image series recently that's called...
Invisible Republic.
Thank you. Man, you are on it with the research today, Sonny.
I am.
Thank you. Filling in all my gaps. But I really liked Invisible Republic. And I thought that they would bring some of that sensibility to this, which they totally do. And part of that is the sort of cinematic unfolding of the story.
Mm-hmm.
So that, like you said, there's a sense of looking over Hal Jordan's shoulder as he discovers the expansiveness of this whole, you know, the ring, the lantern, the other lanterns, the, you know, Oa and the Guardians and all that kind of stuff, which I have to admit is a lot of what wards me away from even like the supposedly really good Geoff Johns Green Lantern stuff. I'm just like the whole mythology and the different color, the spectrum and the blah, blah, blah. I'm just like, eh, you know,
mm-hmm.
just yeah. like, kind of elaborate and silly. And
which starts to come into play, right? Like, I think
yes.
they are, it is going to come into play.
Yes. Yes. But, you mean in this, in the Earth one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a hint at the Yellow Lantern, right? And the right. Yellow Lanterns. And is that, that's Sinestro and that's the Fear, Cowardly, whatever.
Right. That's,
Yeah. But yeah. But it's all like real subtly, right? And real, real slowly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Cool. Well, I don't know. Do you want to talk about what is...
What
go ahead.
I think the... I'm going to talk about something I liked.
Okay.
Do you know... I really appreciated the sense that like Hal Jordan... Or the idea that Hal Jordan is running from something. Mm. Like his own past.
Hmm.
And that's... I think that's something that carried over... to this from the, you know, other universe or the Earth. What's the main Earth?
Earth 52?
Earth 2? Man, I don't know the multiverse.
Earth Prime. No, we're Earth Prime.
So anyway, I like the, that like, that's part of like Hal Jordan's character arc is that there's something, you know, even though he has this like mask of fearlessness, he's actually not dealing with things he needs to deal with.
Yeah. The so, fearlessness, the bravery on his sleeve covers over a kind of running from his past.
Right. So in the original one, it's or in the main Earth whatever. it's, you know, his like dad dying and him being helpless and unable to save his dad from the exploding aircraft.
Right.
But it still informs who he is, you know, as a pilot and why he's so reckless.
Right.
And then this one is, I forget. He's like a failed NASA researcher / explorer.
Yeah.
Or no, NASA stopped, like they pulled from the exploration and just started kind of being like digging for stuff in space.
Yeah.
Mm. I like that. And then I am thankful that they fixed Arisia.
Tell me about that.
So in the original, she's this kid who somehow inherits the ring.
Uh-huh.
And she develops a crush on Hal Jordan.
Okay.
And, gross. And then uses the ring to like mature herself.
Oh, okay.
More attractive to Hal Jordan.
Uh-huh.
And like they have a brief relationship, but it's just like
cringeworthy.
I mean, it was like early on, I don't want to say the 80s.
Sure.
I don't know if that makes it less wrong, but her character just never sat right.
Sure.
And then now, you know, she in this one, she's like a...
full realized woman.
Well, and you know, like a real warrior and want someone who's going to... Right, and later on, I think Geoff Johns tries to fix her character, and she's a respected member of the Corps, but in this one she's like actually has some war experience and
right
you know gets voted to be the leader at the end.
Yeah. Without the baggage of having to do post third wave feminism retconning.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. That's good. Right.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's just you know, all of these characters have a convoluted history, right? And just being able to clear the decks and say, let's introduce these elements the right way mm-hmm. in a planned way rather than like sort of making sense of the haphazard history of the character.
Yeah.
You couldn't do that much better than I feel like they did it here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which is really, they're really cagey about how they put these pieces in there. But I feel like it probably meant more to you because you knew that than me. You know, I was just like, oh, cool character, you know, not knowing all this about.
Right. And you can say she's a cool character.
Right.
And not like a object of.
Sure.
Like a sexual object, right?
Right. So. Which, speaking of sexual objects, tell me about your feeling about the Kilowog in this rendering, this version.
What kind of?
Because Kilowog is someone I do know, and he's always been the character you love. You know, a lantern, mm-hmm. an alien lantern that you love. I feel like yeah. They just used him perfectly. You know, it's like just the right doses.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Tell me more.
Well, I mean, he kind of plays this facilitating role, okay. and he kind of switches, right? Like, he's kind of the one who first makes sense of this total, you know, senseless thing for Hal.
Yeah.
So he's the, I forgot what you call it, but that character is who sort of carries you into the mythology, right? Mm-hmm. But he kind of switches from, you know, needs help to provides it. You know, he kind of gets to swoop in and you know, save the day in some places, and other places he's clearly helpless, and there's kind of an interdependence with Hal.
Mm.
And so he's just very likable. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. I think one of the things that has always made Kilowog likable is his loyalty to the core.
Mm. Mm.
Pun intended.
To the core. Yeah.
To the core.
Like what you did there. Yeah.
And I think he's still loyal to the Green Lantern Corps despite the whole xenophobia of his planet and, you know, having to hide
yeah.
from the Manhunters.
Yeah. Yeah. So is the Manhunters a thing?
Yeah, they are.
Okay.
They are also made by the Guardians, and the Guardians lose control of them as well, and they go and destroy worlds.
Okay. Huh. And I mean, I'm wondering about all these pieces that they're dropping that are part of the core lore that I just uh-huh. don't know. Like on page 128, 123, there's a Sinestro looking guy who's one of the lanterns, right?
Right.
Am I
right
about that? Because that's what he is. He starts off as one of the Green Lanterns and then goes yellow or whatever.
Right. He goes rogue.
Goes rogue. Right.
Yeah. So, Sinestro is actually in the original one, initially Hal Jordan's mentor and kind of the guy who willingly questions the Guardians.
Okay.
And so kind of, and that's, that gets, you know, put into Hal Jordan. So Hal Jordan's like fearlessness and his willingness to question the Guardians makes right. him the loose cannon that always somehow rescues the core.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So well,
that kind of leads me to a question is, you know, you probably agree with me that this is like a good standalone, you know?
Okay.
It's maybe for people like me who are sort of like turned off by the character.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a good gateway? Like, do you feel like this serves to make people more interested or would serve to make people more interested in Green Lantern proper? You know?
No, I don't think so.
Hmm.
Yeah. And I think some of the things that do make it sort of a good standalone
yeah.
is because it, you know, pulls so far away from the original stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think in a sense, this could do it. This has potential for it to do better.
Hmm.
You know?
You mean to do the whole thing better?
Do the whole thing differently and, yeah, maybe a little more relatable to readers like you or uh-huh. more attractive to readers like you.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because I think if you read this as your launching point,
right,
you are just going to constantly have this distrust of the Guardians. And
which you're not supposed to at some point.
You are. Yeah, you are later on. Early on, you're not supposed to.
Right.
And they kind of play more of a, I don't know, like cosmic above the little things character, you know, above things and big picture stuff. So I don't know where I'm going with this, but what I'm saying is, like, you know, I think the Guardian, it's hinting that the Guardian is creating the Yellow Lanterns in Earth One.
Yeah, they're decidedly insidious, or he is, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, the departures from the original is that you don't have the Guardians, these, like a cabal of silly, wise, old, large-headed blue creatures, right?
Right.
Which, again, is part of the silliness, but also part of the, like, comic bookiness of that, of the original Green Lantern premise.
Yeah. Right?
But, and they have it narrowed to this one rather sinister, you know, double-talking from the beginning, which... Mm-hmm. I feel like, yeah, makes for a better effect and a certain, like, that plays up that fun ambivalence about where these rings come from and stuff, you know, it makes you feel a little uncertain about it.
Yeah.
But then it's sort of like you skipped something at the heart of this character. You know what I mean?
What do you mean you skipped something?
Like, I feel like, you know, it's something very modern to say, oh, the core has this somewhat ambiguous background.
Okay, for
good or evil, rather than like space cops, you know,
right,
you know, backed by these wise old funny little aliens, you know, right. It's like you kind of skipped the comic booky fun and you went right to the sort of like dark anti-hero
or like dark order versus free will.
Yeah. Those grand themes that become sort of like later imported into this, like,
So, you know, again, just kind of circling back, I don't know that I would use this story as a way to rope people into the rest of the Green Lantern comics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I wouldn't say, oh, you like this, you should read Blackest Night.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I've tried to read Blackest Night, and I don't know what's going on.
Okay.
I mean, I guess, you know, some of what you're saying is like, this is a nice, friendly welcome for somebody like me, right? Mm-hmm. Do you feel a sense of betrayal about it, though? I mean, like...
No.
You're not annoyed that they've taken these things near and dear to you and twisted them?
No.
Huh. Well, you're just a bad fan, Sonny.
Well, no, because I think... Thanks.
I'm just kidding.
Says the guy who wants the Lakers to form a super team.
So we can defeat them. And our triumphs are all the sweeter.
Okay, so here's what I don't know, you know, what they're doing next, because they always take DC always takes like 4 years to come out with another volume.
Yeah.
Earth One.
Probably more on the creators than anything. But anyway.
But you know, there's a couple of themes. So like with the Guardians, you know, one of the things that they do a lot, is they realize they screw up and they try to create another police force. So the Manhunters were the first ones in the original series. And then the Green Lanterns are put in place because they realize you need a little bit of compassion to control the universe.
Yeah.
So you need actual beings and not robots.
Yeah.
And then after that, then they kind of swing back to these other Alpha Lanterns. And then,
yeah. Right.
You know. Because the universe is so chaotic without these other emotions manifesting in rings.
Yeah.
And so here, you know, it's kind of the same thing. Like, they start out with the Green Lanterns, and then they build the Manhunters.
Yeah, yeah.
And so now you have this one storyline of, like, well, the Guardian is still trying to do something with the universe, whether it's some form of order in the universe.
Sure.
And creating this police force to do it.
Right.
So, you know. He even talks about, like, dang it, if the lantern had blown up, it would have destroyed all the Green Lanterns and the Manhunters.
Right.
And he's like, that's okay, I have... And then, you know, he steps out to his army of Yellow Lanterns.
Right.
So, you know, I think that captures the, like... Like, I don't feel betrayed because it's the sense of this blue guy still trying to bring order to the universe and sucks at it. It creates more chaos. And I don't know if you caught this, but I feel like, you know, there's this guy who kind of looks like Sinestro.
Yeah.
And I think he will play a part later on.
Okay.
Because, and I might be wrong, but I got the sense that there was something about him where he was like not willing to help the other Lanterns. Mm. But he just wanted to protect his, he was more, I don't know, maybe he's going to be more protective of his own homeworld.
Ah, okay.
And that's kind of what leads the original Sinestro to his downfall is, you know, he's trying to bring order to his own homeworld and then uses the ring abusively and then Guardians take away his ring and then he seeks after the yellow one.
Yeah.
So we might see something where, you know, the Green Lanterns fail him because he calls for help. I don't know where they're going, but
yeah, yeah. No, that makes sense. I mean, that's sort of the kind of political question or political intrigue that I could see Becco and Hardman like seeing in the original work and then really wanting to play up in their rewriting.
Okay.
Which is that like it's a tension between like this being a universal police force and your own devotion to protect your own homeworld, right? You know, it's like, I'm a state trooper. Am I going to be for my state and sent by my state, or am I going to follow the laws of the federal government, you know, or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's actually a backwards example. But you know what I'm saying? Like, that plays up sets up the idea of where these you know, good soldiers could have internal turmoil.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Oh, there we go. Crap, I don't have the page number. But it's kind of near that epic battle, you know, mm-hmm. And Sinestro says, you know, or Hal says something about if we create a loop, we can create a giant thing and it'll destroy Oa.
Yeah.
And then Sinestro says a small price to pay to protect our homes, our families,
right, and freedom
from the Manhunters.
Right, so. Right. So he's ready to kill off all these imprisoned slaves to, save his own.
Yeah.
Huh, that's cool. I mean, see, like, you having that knowledge sets that up. Or I guess you recognize how that's being set up.
I think so.
Well, yeah. My ignorance of Sinestro means I have to wait till volume 2 to see that kind of pay off that way.
Yeah. And it probably won't till like volume 4.
Yeah.
If they get that far.
Well, you know, I have to go back to the Guardian. Guardians, huh? Guardian, you know, actually, I feel like, you know, a little bit of the sort of like wise and you know, omniscient but bumbling group of funny blue creatures, mm-hmm. You know, like it's part of the silly, but it's also, it seems really important to the whole premise of the universe, that the Guardians like sort of bicker sometimes or, you know, act like they have it all together. And then you actually spend a little time with them and then they sort of, you know, have like a comedic banter.
They smurf up.
Yeah, they smurf. Exactly. They become Jim Henson characters, you know? And it would be a weird tonal fit with, especially like Hardman's art style. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is like gritty. This is gritty sci-fi, you know?
Yeah.
And so it feels like that one single remaining Guardian being behind all this is fit for this story. But I just think, isn't there something about the Guardians being who they are in their, you know, goofiness, in their sort of silliness that seems really, really important to Green Lantern?
But I think their silliness just made them somewhat, I don't know, like relatable.
Yeah.
All right. And, you know, if you have this perfect, if these Guardians are so perfect, then obviously they're not going to make mistakes. But then it's so obvious that they're not perfect.
Right.
Right. And they always comment like, these humans, they're always run by their emotions. But then, like, why is it then that the humans are always the best Green Lanterns out there?
Right.
So in this case, I think, again, being able to, like, latch on to Hal Jordan's issues early on,
mm-hmm.
kind of make it so that you don't have to have these silly emotionally unintelligent guardians of the universe.
Yeah.
That's just my thought.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I feel you. You know, I guess now that we're talking about this, I'm realizing where I'm coming from on this.
Okay.
So hear me out. I've tried a lot of Green Lantern, also a lot of Green Jantern. And mostly I know the character or the characters from when they're part of Justice League, right? So John Stewart in Cosmic Odyssey or something like that, right? Or
okay.
In John Stewart in Justice League or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Or, why am I blanking on the name of the really obnoxious guy from, Justice League International and stuff?
Guy Gardner.
Yeah, Gardner. Thank you. The really obnoxious guy, Gardner. I mean, you know, I think when I was coming up in comics, Guy Gardner was everywhere, right? And then when you were coming up in comics, Kyle Rayner's everywhere, right?
Right.
So I was thinking about Green Lantern as part of a team, and I know he references the core and this deep back, you know, catalog of mythology that I don't care about, right? Mm-hmm. And then I start hearing, Green Lantern is good. Like, check out Geoff Johns stuff. And I think it has a lot to do with the style of the art where I'm just kind of turned off because the two versions that are now my favorite versions of Green Lantern are, one, this, where you just went hard at being like serious and you took off all the silliness, you shaved it all off. Or two, Darwin Cook, right? New Frontier, right? Where you sort of like...
You just go full.
Yeah, you just go full like courage and, you know, cartoon. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And like there's something about, say, Ethan Van Sciver that is like so self-serious in its style, but like not willing to recognize that this is just ludicrous... muscly figures in space with colors that represent emotions. You know, it's just I just can't do that. But I can do this. I can go. I can do Hardman and Becco. I can do this like gritty sci-fi, or I can do like we're just gonna have like Silver Age fun with this. You know.
Okay. Good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
You with me?
I'm with you.
So, how do you justify your prior Green Lantern fandom? No, I'm just kidding.
Nice.
I'm not trying to put you on trial, but you know what I'm saying?
We've talked about this.
We have.
Yeah, I like the colors and the and the boom and the
and this epic mythology. So another piece of this. Well, let's talk about the art.
Okay.
You like it?
Yeah, here's the thing though. I liked the black. Sounds really stupid, but it makes it feel very spacey and uncertain. Early on.
Yeah, the amount of shadow and the amount of black.
That's where I was kind of like, oh, reminds me a lot of like Alien or Prometheus or whatever.
Sure.
Ridley Scott stuff.
Ridley Scott. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I don't know, I think what kind of brings it back down to earth is how Jordan looks like a real person and not like overly muscular.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his like facial hair changes throughout the story and
sure.
It's not like my typical favorite style of art, but I think it works well for the story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It sort of changes it tunes a few dials on the pitch to make it work really well with the story, right? Mm-hmm. Borrow sound metaphors to talk about visual stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I know. I like that. It's filtered through Ridley Scott, which Hardman does, you know?
Okay. Really good. Yeah. Did he do that for Invisible Republic?
Yeah. It has that similar... You know, a little bit of like, again, like I said this already, but like space grit, right?
Okay.
Like a lot of heavy shadows.
Yeah.
There's a sense that like the machinery is covered in dust, you know?
Yeah.
In fact, that's irrelevant to the plot at some point, right? That the layers of dust mean that, you know, nothing's moved here in a while.
Uh-huh.
It's like space wreckage, right? Kind of like a hollowed out.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, I think it's interesting. It's interesting, but again, like I keep coming back to, like I like it, but I feel like it doesn't make me like Green Lantern. I like this, you know?
You like this? Yeah.
So I feel a little bit like, you know, like when you see a picture of a girl and you have a crush on her, but that's just a really good picture. If you actually met the girl, you would be, you really don't like her personality.
So Instagram. Just kidding.
Right. This is an Instagram Green Lantern. I don't know if I really want a face-to-face relationship with this person. I just really like this one picture.
Hey, I just got a notification saying I've been kicked off Instagram. I'm just kidding.
Right? I mean, I think that that's what these Earth One books are kind of doing. Well, I guess this is another question I had. Like, Batman Earth One felt like Batman.
Right.
It was basically Batman, right?
Yeah.
It was like you didn't have to do much to the origin story. Mm-hmm. And Wonder Woman, though, felt like Wonder Woman. I don't know what you thought. It felt like Wonder Woman, but it felt like Wonder Woman tonally really remixed.
Okay.
Because Wonder Woman's origin, like, if you ask somebody, what's Wonder Woman's origin story? It's pretty, like, I don't know. It doesn't have the cleanness. It hasn't already been filtered through Batman Year One, you know, and all these retellings that have modernized it, but essentially kept the same elements.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
She has, like, this convoluted, like, you know, Paradise Island, Themyscira, you know.
Is she Clay?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Right. So, like, somewhere between I have to radically retell this origin for it to work and make sense, and I just basically keep the origin essentially the same. Mm-hmm. I feel like Hardman and Becco decided that Green Lantern had to go closer to the Wonder Woman route.
Mm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No.
Well, go ahead. Okay. No, I agree. Did you want to say anything else?
No.
Okay. Well, and I think what I'll add to that is, or I'll, you know, that this is not the remix. This is like stripped down.
Yeah.
Right. You just kind of what I said earlier. You take away a lot of the other noise, and you just you get the acoustic version.
Right. This is Green Lantern Unplugged. Coffee house Green Lantern.
Empty tiny desk concert Green Lantern.
So we have Instagram Green Lantern. These are pull quotes for your paperback edition, DC. Coffee house Green Lantern. Yeah. I'm with that.
Okay.
I'm with that.
All right.
So, I mean, I will say I'm definitely, I really didn't render, you know, my judgment. Not that it really matters much, but you predicted it, you know? Like, I'm on board for more of this. Like, volume 2, come soon. Because I like this Hal Jordan. I like this the way that this world is being introduced. And I feel like it's a route to this story that I could feel really satisfied with. It doesn't necessarily, knowing what I know, it doesn't necessarily make me go, oh, let me go back in. You know, reread whatever 30 years of Green Lantern.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Because it won't be this,
right?
Yeah,
right. And I think that's okay.
Yeah,
that's why they called it Earth One.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Go. No, you.
I was gonna say, where does this rank in your Earth Ones? I forget. I know you said it in the beginning.
Yeah. But. No, that's a good question. Well, honestly, I wasn't super impressed with Batman Earth One nor Superman Earth One. Like, they both felt pretty. I mean, just they felt like a exercise in retelling what we already knew super well. I liked Teen Titans. You know,
okay.
It wasn't like the best thing I ever read, but I thought it was a really clean reintroduction. You know,
okay.
And it had all that sort of like, you know, they tapped Jeff Lemire because he's really good at writing a second generation, right? Uh-huh. And Teen Titans is a very second generational, you know, and all the baggage that's attached to having these sort of parent figures, you know, as reference. And then I thought the Wonder Woman was super Grant Morrison-y, you know? It was like, I couldn't tell entirely, but I just knew a lot of it was very tongue-in-cheek.
You mean it was Camp Morrison?
Yes. What's going on here? I just can't.
Yeah.
Person. So I got it. Yeah. This might be my favorite Earth One.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I feel unreserved. Like, I think all of those I just said, maybe with the exception of the Teen Titans, had these reservations. But No, I like this unreservedly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think my, you know, jumping up, piggybacking off what you said,
yeah,
like, you could call this something else and I would still read it. Like, it doesn't, you could say, you know, it, like, if you, if it wasn't Green Lantern, right, you could just say space cop. I don't, right. Clearly, I don't write for comics, but
no, that's pretty good. I think you should copyright space cop. A large blank spot, like a large space in between space and cop. No, go ahead.
And it would, it works fine as a story on itself, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then, but then you can, then you just throw in some more Green Lantern fan service stuff.
Sure.
Or not fan service stuff, but, you know, things that are like, oh yeah, these are kind of the cores of the character. And it's pretty good.
Yeah.
I would recommend it for people in my life who like aliens. It doesn't like Green Lantern yet.
Yeah. Okay. Good. It's a good alternative take.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it does make me a little bit sad about the character. Like, when you have a character as longstanding and as important as Green Lantern, it does make me a little sad that the modern alternative take has to be so drastically different.
Mm.
You know, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why couldn't we have had a Green Lantern Earth One that was more in the spirit of the actual Green Lantern, or for that matter, in a Darwin cookie kind of, a Darwin cookie cutter kind of approach?
Nice.
Why did we have to go this sort of gritty Ridley Scott?
Yeah. Maybe because... Maybe Ridley Scott was onto something in terms of a space story, and this Hal Jordan hasn't been done yet. Like, the Hal Jordan for a space story hasn't been done yet.
So can I ask you something about why? Do you think it had to be Hal Jordan? Could they have chosen to do another Lantern?
No, they could have totally done Guy Gardner, and then you would have loved Guy Gardner.
What would the haircut be? Same? Bowl cut? Or...
Yeah, I mean,
mullet guy.
What's the man bun?
Man bun.
For the modern day.
Listeners should know Sonny has a Asian man bun.
I mean, Guy Gardner, what, owns a bar, right? That's one of his biggest things.
Okay.
People with man bun are
sure
probably own a bar.
Sure. Or tend the bar. Yeah. Sure. There we go. Craft brewery.
In space.
Yeah, hipster Guy Gardner. Is there something to Hal Jordan in terms of sequence that he has to be first?
If you want to introduce Guy Gardner and John Stewart, because both of them were pegged as replacements.
Ah, right. Oh, sorry, did I say Guy Gardner? I meant Hal Jordan. Ah, I see.
I'm saying... what I'm trying to say is part of the character arcs of Guy Gardner and John Stewart is that they have to step into Hal Jordan's shoes after he's done a lot of great things for the core.
Yeah.
So they're trying to prove themselves as well. And
right.
And you know, at first they try to outdo Hal Jordan in different ways, right?
Right.
And Guy Gardner, it's like the more like I'm even braver and more daring than Hal Jordan.
Uh-huh.
And then John Stewart is more of like the, like, I can have Hal Jordan's courage, but be more calculating. And then, you know, they each have their different downfalls because of that.
I see. So there's something to Hal Jordan in terms of his, whatever, the flamboyant courage covering his deep inner fear, which he has to overcome, which is part of the character arc and integral to Green Lantern. Kind of.
Right?
That's kind of summarizing what you're saying. And off of that, Guy Gardner is this more extreme flamboyance, right?
Uh-huh.
And then John Stewart is a less controlled by his emotion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, who knows? Maybe in volume two.
Maybe.
But doesn't like Hal Jordan have to go through all kinds of like crazy becoming other things? For all that stuff to happen.
No, he just decides he wants to. I think he just decides he wants to quit.
Oh, okay. Then, all right.
But you know, we'll probably see Guy Gardner make a cameo at the bar that Hal Jordan go drink at next.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, John Stewart will be his commanding officer on Earth, or something. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I haven't read anything about this, but it's Volume 1. Volume 2 is planned, right? Because the end of this book has it says the end, right? And it has that sort of like splash page moment where Hal Jordan is clearly like, we now have the tools to help. You know, he there's a finality about this,
mm-hmm.
where this could be the last one. I mean, and I feel like both the Teen Titans and the Wonder Woman, which are, you know, our more recent comps, mm-hmm. clearly ended on a like a what?
Like, yeah.
If there's not a Volume 2, this would suck. Whereas right. this one is clear. This one could end here.
Yeah. You know? With the Manhunter still out there, and then this yellow light or yellow lantern.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of hinted at, but I just mean there's more closure in this one than in the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
Closure with room for mm-hmm. a Volume 2. Should sales mm-hmm. justify? You know, another right. go at this?
Right. Okay.
Did you read the back matter, the little, I think it's a pitch by Hardman and Becco for what they'll do with this? Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see what they'll do.
Oh, I think it sounds like this was their pitch for what originally, you know, like before they made the book.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we're going to do with this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts reading that?
No. I mean, that's how it played out in the book. So,
did Kilowog get killed in this?
Oh, not yet. So they probably changed that at the end.
Yeah, it looks like in the original pitch,
Kilowog is killed.
It says in capital letters, Kilowog is killed. Yeah. Right, which would have been dark.
Could there also be more lanterns? That's the other part that's caps locked.
Oh, that's right. Central power battery?
Lantern?
In that voice.
Yeah. All right. I think we're... I don't know. What did you want to
say about that? About the little piece at the back?
Yeah.
No, it's interesting because I do think about this in terms of process, right? Like DC coming to Hardman and Becco and, I don't know at this point, contract signed or not, you know, like... Oh, send us your pitch. How do you rewrite the mythology, you know?
Yeah.
And they know their style. They know whom they were asking for this, you know what I mean? And so I feel like DC, whoever the editors were, got what they were looking for.
Okay.
But, you know, between this pitch and the final result, I think it is less dark. I mean, I think the pitch is darker. You know, the pitch is actually way more of the tone, a match of the tone. There's something a little bit more Green Lantern optimism about the end result
mm-hmm.
than the very like hard. I mean, Kilowog being killed, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Like there's some light in the universe.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So I just thought that was interesting.
So is there? I mean, do you want a Volume 2?
I do. So I would buy it and read it.
What's the hashtag we need DC to see? Hashtag GLE1V2.
Yeah, that'll make a lot of sense. GLE1V2.
Yeah, Earth 1 Volume 2.
That's right. That's mm-hmm. right. Okay, hashtag right. GLE1V2. Hey, contact the podcast. Contact us on Twitter or whatever. Let us know what you think. Hashtag GLE1V2.
Okay.
That sounds like a license plate.
Hey. Huh.
Yeah. Okay, good. So we'll put this down. You know, I think we should mark this as the first successful crossover book between Sonny's World and Paul's.
All right.
Yeah. We'll keep looking. We'll keep our eye peeled for the eyes peeled. Our eye peeled. our collective single eye.
Did we peeled not? Would Giant Days not counting crossover as a I guess it's not really my favorite. That was more of a you convinced me to read it. All right.
Well, maybe. I mean, I just mean we didn't get to talk about it in great depth. So
okay.
We'll keep looking.
Green Lantern.
All right. Green Lantern.
Green Lantern 1, Paul 0.
Undefeated. Cool. So we'll insert a break here and then talk about our picks for this upcoming month. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
MeUndies.
Mac Weldon. ZipRecruiter. Okay.
Blue Apron.
Hello, everybody. My name is Mike.
And I'm Greg.
And together we are Robots from Tomorrow, a twice-weekly podcast appearing at MultiversityComics.com.
Each week, we take some time to check out books hitting shelves on Wednesday that are worth your attention. And each month, we dissect the previous catalog.
We also have long-form discussions about books we've enjoyed, like Dan Clow's Ghost World and Jack Kirby and Mike Royer's Commandy.
And if that's not enough, we also do creator interviews. Some of the talks you'll find in our archives feature Mike Mignola, Layla Del Duca, Sean Martinborough, Emma Beebe, and Greg Rucka.
So that's a lot of content for everybody. Please subscribe to Robots from Tomorrow in iTunes or Stitcher so you never miss a thing. Robots from Tomorrow has hours of comic-focused entertainment week in and week out. And now, back to your show.
So we're back in the month of June, July. You and I each picked one. And you want to go first?
Sure.
Yeah. So this is our wait list where we pick a collection, trade paperback, something we're looking forward to coming out and talk about them. So what do you got, Sonny?
I got Batman Detective Comics, mm-hmm. Volume 6, The Fall of Batman.
Right, right. And this is the end of the James Tynan masterful detective run that we've thoroughly enjoyed.
I think there's one more run after this, because this is Clayface turns, allegedly starts losing control.
Gotcha.
And then that leads to a drastic decision made by one of the Knights of Gotham.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I mean, I know what happens at this point, but I still want to. I haven't read what happens and see. So
how do you know? Are you listening to the DC3 cast, or how do you know?
I'll read the previews of each other issues that are coming out.
Wait, if you read the solicit to find out what happens, doesn't that? Why would you do that if you're a trade winner? Doesn't that just ruin it for you?
Well, I mean,
No comment.
I mean, it ruins it, but it doesn't.
Okay.
You know.
Okay. Yeah.
So, I'm still excited for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think, you know, this is just typical Sony for this month, where it's Batman, it's the Bat family,
mm-hmm.
and I've enjoyed this run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I have an update since the last time we talked.
Mm-hmm.
In honor of you, as well as the DC3 guys who also really enjoyed this book, I went from being about, I don't know, 13 issues behind
mm-hmm.
to I'm about to the end of this arc.
Oh, so you're ahead of me.
Yes, I am. Because I am not a trade waiter.
Nice.
But it's good. Yeah, good for me. It's good. Yeah. In fact, we're going to talk about the next bit of Detective Comics in our next segment here, but
what is it that you liked about it?
You know, I have never been as attached to the family Bat family issue, especially the modern incarnations of it that don't involve a dog, you know. And I think this is probably the most I've seen these characters fleshed out and work as an ensemble, you know.
Okay.
And I know it's all building on you know, history about these characters that I only have sort of scant knowledge of or some passing familiarity with,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I think it stands the test of, you don't know these characters. You're not totally bought into whoever the heck Spoiler is or Cass or whatever mm-hmm. at the beginning of the Tynion, the, you know, Rebirth Detective run. And by the end, I'm like, yeah, I really do care that Clayface is not, you know, they sort of like laid that early on, this like, indeterminacy about Clayface, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm totally bought into wanting him to stay good, you know. And so I think it's actually the reason why I caught up on this big chunk is I just like, if I'm reading it every other week, it's I have no idea what's going on. But like in big chunks, it's real nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm good. I'm down with that.
Cool.
My pick?
Yeah, your pick.
All right, so this recommendation, and you can look this up is Fantastic Four, Epic Collection, New Fantastic Four.
Okay.
So this is coming out from, obviously, Marvel in on June 27th, right?
June 27th, okay.
Yes, and it collects Fantastic Four 347 to 361.
Nice. It's a hefty collection.
It's a hefty collection. It's these, you know, these epic collections that are just like big, thick, you know, trade paperback of old stuff, right?
Yeah.
But basically, we're now at a point that runs into my teenage years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I had this, not this whole, not 347 to 361, but a good chunk of it in single issues, lurking somewhere around the house, but I guess I didn't leave it anywhere where you could have picked it up and enjoyed it.
Nope.
Written by Tom DeFalco, Danny Fingeroth, Len Kaminsky, Paul Ryan, not that Paul Ryan, and Walt Simonson. But really, actually, the biggest thing for me is much of the art is by Art Adams.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, and including that cover you may be looking at if you looked it up.
Still looking for it.
Okay, and so it's a period of time when the Fantastic Four, I don't remember why, but basically Reed, Sue, Ben, and Johnny are taken off the chessboard. And so to fill in the gap, Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, yeah. Hulk.
Yes.
Forget.
Not She-Hulk yet. Wolverine and Ghost Rider.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's actually my friends Greg and Mike at Robots from Tomorrow have talked about this run as like, I forgot what they said, but it was basically like, who's popular in Marvel? Let's just stick them together. You know? There's like no rhyme or reason to Ghost Rider and Spider-Man being on a team except that like, oh, sales, you know?
Oh, you know what? There are some of these laying around the house.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I really like, I was kind of intrigued by the crossover and these characters being together and the sort of like, you know, the super self-serious Ghost Rider discourse with the quippy Spider-Man, you know, and you know, it was kind of a fun thing. And then this is Grey Hulk, you know, who's
smarter,
uttering sentences. Yeah. But the, but actually it was kind of the art Adams, the art Adams art. And, and just kind of seeing these characters do their thing. I just remember really, really enjoying this.
Yeah.
As a teenager.
Okay. I remember it now.
Yeah. Yeah. Sitting in the house somewhere.
Oh, flashback. Yeah.
I mean, these were days when I think I have like two issues in a row and then skip one and then like another issue. And there's like, I had no way in heck of finding that missing issue or whatever, you know, I just had to figure out what happened. yeah. Okay. And you know, it's kind of sad that at that time in my life, I think the only way and only reason I would have picked up a Fantastic Four book is that someone else was the Fantastic
Four. Yeah.
But, I liked it. So it's kind of fun to think about revisiting that.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe I'll just check it out on Marvel Unlimited or something like that. But, I don't know.
No, you should get it for the sake of my nostalgia.
Sure. And then we should read it together.
Okay.
So let me ask you this. Spider-Man, Wolverine, Ghost Rider, and the Hulk.
Yeah.
So Hulk is obviously Ben.
Is he? As Grey Hulk?
Well, just, yeah, because Ben is big and strong.
Yeah, okay.
Right? And he's not, reasonably
he's,
smart.
But he's not the Reed Richards of the team.
Is Grey Hulk brilliant? Is he Banner smart?
I think so.
Oh, maybe. Well, I would think Peter McParker, I mean, Spider-Man. Spider-Man is Reed, right?
Wait, so who's Sue Storm?
Right, that's what my question is. I think Ghost Rider. The Ghost Rider.
He's on fire, isn't that Johnny Storm?
Well, right, of course.
Was
I'm ridiculous. So I guess that means Wolverine is Sue Storm.
Was Sue Storm ever considered the like sexiest one on the team? I guess.
I'm sure that depended on how you were oriented. I mean, like.
Oh, I mean, you like Kilowog kind of stuff.
She's famously invisible. Like, why is it that the woman is invisible one? But,
all right.
Yeah. That's one, at least one of the things I would go back and reread this for is, did this character chemistry actually work to have these four, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not the first or the last time that the Fantastic Four or parts of the Fantastic Four are replaced, you know? Right. But,
and Peter's like a friend of the family.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like honorary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. Anyway.
Good question.
That's my pick.
All right.
All right. So let's do this new thing, yeah?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So the new thing is that I want Sonny to read some current single issue comics, sacrilege, to my brother, and determine whether or not they are worth his putting them on his wait list or not. So this is a strictly Sonny's opinion, thumbs up or thumbs down process.
Okay.
And this time around, as you may have seen in the show notes, we are looking at Thor, the new Thor, the old Thor, number one. And then we're looking at Detective Comics 982, which is the first issue post-Tinian. And then we're looking at By Night from Boom Studios, which is written by John Allison, because, as Sonny alluded to earlier, we've read some Giant Days, right? I've pressed on you some Giant Days, and so this is John Allison and Christine Larson and Sarah Stern doing a Boombox title By Night. So, Sonny, I'm so excited. I'm so interested to hear, and I texted you this earlier, I have a suspicion that you will like, or you will put one out of these three books on your actual wait list, and but I don't know which one. Was I off?
You can
start with the stats.
No, you are on.
Okay. Don't give it away yet.
Okay.
All right. But you would, one of these three made it into your wait list.
How about, yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing about it. I'll say that much.
Okay. So you're still going to judge whether it turns out the way that you hope.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that's the advantage of trade waiting. You know, you could be undecided and then hear that it sucks and save $12 or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. What listeners don't know is that my brother is extremely poor. No, I'm just kidding.
Nice.
So really, it's maximizing value. I mean, if you saw the piles and piles and piles of long boxes in my house, then clearly I'm the idiot here. So anyway, where do you want to start, man?
I believe this podcast, this is the wait list and not the idiot list.
Yeah.
What do I want to start with?
Yeah, which one of these three?
Well, since I just talked about Detective Comics, let's see if I will pick up Detective Comics.
Very intrigued.
Post Tinian?
Yeah, Tinian, Tinian, I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, what do you think? So this is 982, written by Michael Morici.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And then with art by Sebastian Fiumara.
Okay.
So I want to hear a breakdown from the single issue, your take on it, art and story.
Yeah.
And then maybe give me your thumbs up or thumbs down.
Okay. I think Deacon Black is one of my least favorite villains.
Yes. Features prominently in the story.
Yes.
Right.
And mainly because he toes the line of like, he could be like a real villain and then he turns into a ghost. And then you're like, okay, this is not going to happen in real life.
Right.
Like he's almost cool. And then I guess I just never liked Batman when he has to fight these like occult.
Demons.
Occult. Yeah. Demons. And somehow he can still do it. Like,
right.
I know he's the GD Batman, but.
It strains the credibility.
A little bit.
Thing that's part of the appeal of Batman is that he's credible.
A little bit, right? And like,
yeah.
Like something physical, like Darkseid. You know what? I'm going to stop. That sounds ridiculous. But
right. But I know what you mean. Like, yeah, not like a ghost. Not like a, you know, you just made up a dimension.
Right.
But Darkseid, who seems totally plausible. No, I know what you mean, though.
Yeah, and so, I mean... Yeah. You know, I don't know if they, because they don't want, and there's cameos later on with some of the Bat family,
mm-hmm, yeah.
But this would have been a good time to bring in Zatanna or John Constantine or,
sure,
and kind of start looping them into more of the, I don't know, or Atrigan, Jason Blood.
Right.
You know, okay. I also like stories that end in a single issue sometimes.
Mm.
But I feel like I get the sense that this is going to be a similar to, maybe I'm wrong, but similar to how like All-Star Batman was. Do you think that's going to be the case where All-Star Batman had this, like, he's fighting these these other guys in a self-contained story, but it's also part of a larger story.
Yeah. 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 I think that's a good bet. That's smart.
Okay. Probably won't be. I'll probably give it a shot, but we'll see.
Okay. Is this your we'll see?
This is a, right now it's a thumbs down.
Got it.
And then I'll give it a flip just because it's potential bat family.
I see. It's a push.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I think that this kind of Batman story, what it's got going for it, for me, is the Sebastian Fiumara. And actually, I like Michael Morici and other things that he's written. But I think, unfortunately, he has the same burden of prejudice for me as for you, which is just this kind of story.
Okay.
Yeah, the haunt, sort of like haunted ghost stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I like the art, though. I mean, I think until I saw this, I never made this association, but Fiumara has a little bit of the Kelly Jones Batman, but not so extreme. You know, a little bit of that Sam Keith cross-hatching quality.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. I mean, that is a tone of Batman that is not my favorite, but it works for me, you know? And actually, it works for this kind of story. I just not necessarily inclined toward this kind of story.
Okay, yeah.
That one panel where, you know, where Dick and
Damian.
Yeah, Damian and
Duke.
Like, I wanted a lot of that. I wanted a lot of that in that style.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah. But instead, there was a lot of
these weird hooded. Yeah.
Yeah, weird hooded characters, right? So I thought the art was fantastic.
Okay.
But I don't know if Fiumara is signed on to do the rest. I mean, right? Because this is like filler arc for a little while.
Yeah.
Until we transition to who's next? Do we know who's next on Detective?
Have
they announced that yet?
I wouldn't know. You wouldn't know better than me.
Right. Hey, help us DC3 cast. Reading this list, it's every week. I listen devotedly, but sometimes I'm washing the dishes or something like that. So I just missed it. Okay, so this is not the one.
No.
Interesting to hear. Interesting to hear. Should we move on to Thor or By Night?
You pick. I picked the first.
Okay, let's go to Thor.
Okay.
All right. So, The God of Thunder Reborn is the subtitle here.
Uh-huh.
Jason Aaron's still at the writer's chair, and Mike Del Mundo is the artist and the cover artist, and then there's a shorter piece, The Grace of Thor, where Christian Ward is the artist, and we're dealing with what are the names? I forgot the three granddaughters.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a mega sized issue.
Mm-hmm.
And in the opening, Thor winds up confronting Juggernaut, who is a god or whatever.
Yeah.
And then sort of has to figure out his hammer situation. He needs a new replacement.
Does he need to go to ZipRecruiter? Never mind.
What'd you say?
Does he need to go on ZipRecruiter to find out his new hammer?
Yeah. Our sponsors, ZipRecruiter.
Not really.
Don't have a new
new sidekick hammer
forged without ZipRecruiter. So tell me what you thought.
Okay, so this is I am so behind on Thor. I have no idea what would like. I didn't know Jane Foster has cancer.
Wow. Okay. Spoiler. Sunny Lie.
Sorry.
No, I mean, you were spoiled.
Oh,
on the last 4 years.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute. I know. Actually, I don't even think I've picked up a Thor book ever.
Ever. Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Which is, you know, I've said before on this podcast, I really like Jason Aaron's Thor. So I'm kind of delighted that you're coming to it completely cold.
Okay.
Which when he started his run like 4 or 5 years ago, you know, you could actually not know anything about Thor. And it was like a pretty fresh original story.
Mm-hmm.
And then it built up a lot of these pieces where a lot of the stuff matters.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
by this point, yeah, I can see you reading this and just being like, what the?
Yeah. And I think the thing I always have to do with Thor is I always have to like Wikipedia or Google the characters and determine if this is a Marvel character or a Norse actual like update, you know, not updated,
right,
but a Marvel rendition of a Norse god.
Yeah.
So.
Right, right. Like the Norse god Juggernaut.
Right. Or what's his dog's name? Thori?
Cerberus. No.
Thori.
Thori, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah, yeah. So so what did you think of this issue, your ignorance aside?
Ignorance aside, I'm going to wait and see what happens.
Oh, okay. This is your one, huh?
For Thor versus Phoenix Wolverine.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
No, that's fine. We just, you know, you've been warned.
Yeah.
It's only one issue. Come on.
What do you mean? Yeah. So, that's interesting. So.
Yeah.
And that's more up my alley of like epic crossovers. Not epic crossovers. I hate crossovers. Yeah. I hate crossover events. But I like Wolverine, and so.
That sounds cool to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the response to Thor a lot of times, and it's gonna wind up being a tribute to Jason Aaron, who I, you know, have a lot of adoration for. So This won't be a surprise. But I feel like most Thor is either love or hate. You know, it's like I you know ride for this stuff, or like I can't tolerate a single one more panel of words that end in th. You know, and so it's, I think Thor books are often very divisive, you know?
Okay.
Well, it's just sort of like people really like it or they just can't do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, it's like a romance novel, you know?
Uh-huh.
It's a thing that people either embrace or just say is not for me. But I feel like the Thor that Jason Aaron has written is one that is very palatable for people for whom this stuff is normally like not my jam.
Oh.
And I would be one of those people. But actually, since I heard such good things about his run, I started reading it back when it was, you know, whatever, Thor, God of Thunder. And all through this whole Jane, newsflash, has cancer, becomes Thor.
Okay.
Unbecomes Thor. Have been pretty... I think Jason Aaron has made me like Thor.
Okay. And I think Jason Aaron did the X-Men run that I like, right? With...
Oh.
Did he do the Wolverine and the X-Men, or Wolverine school one? Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow, is that primarily how you know Jason Aaron?
Yep.
So I have not forced upon you Scalped or Southern Bastards or anything like that?
No, you just forced upon me Wolverine and... Which one was it?
Wolverine and the X-Men, right?
Wolverine School of the Gifted.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Wolverine and the X-Men, sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, I've been derelict in my duty as a brother and comic book
pusher. I mean,
Jason Aaron is easily in my pantheon, my top five writers.
Okay. Oh, crap.
Of comics.
Okay.
So, I don't know. Okay, that means I got my work cut out for me to sell you on this stuff. But it's a weird point to enter this. Nonetheless, if you're willing to try it, you know, that's one thing, is I can almost vouch, you know, now for its quality because it's been good.
Okay.
Yeah. But I feel like, I don't think you should feel like this burden of, oh man, I got to go read like the 10 trade paperbacks that Paul's going to foist on me. You shouldn't feel like that you have to do that to enjoy this, but it, you know, you could. It's summer. I
don't have a summer break, sir.
Right. That's true. That's right. You are a real employee, not a teacher. What's a summer break?
Well, teachers are real employees. I know.
I'm gonna
work year round. That's all.
Making fun of myself.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm not a fan of the art either. Just putting that out there.
Interesting. Which one? Both?
Yeah.
That's going to be tough. I just mean this style, you know, this sort of like epic style is basically all throughout the run.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'll still give it a shot.
Okay. Good. I'm glad. Yeah. All right. Good. So that brings us to By Night.
Okay.
Which is, I guess, not on your, I will wait for this list.
It's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
There's a, I think, I mean, at least the difference is in one issue is kind of like, oh, here's the mystery that's going to happen. Mm. Sort of.
Sorry, you're saying the difference between this and...
No. Well, I mean, I'm intrigued.
Okay.
I'll probably borrow your trade,
You're not going to add it to your list, but...
I'm not going to add it to my list, but...
You'll read it free from the library of your brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's something about it that reminds me of a little bit... You know how, like, Paper Girls, it took, like, really 5 issues for the mystery to really pop out?
Mm-hmm.
So it reminded me of that. Like, I was reading this whole issue of, like, setup, and then... Mm. Like, three or two pages of like, here's the twist.
Right.
So.
Right. Well, this is a question because part of Paper Girls is supposed to, I was momentarily mixed up. Have you watched Atlanta?
Not yet.
Okay. It's not going to mean anything to you, but every time I mention Paper Girls now, I always start singing the song from Atlanta, which is Paper Boy, all about that Paper Boy. And then I just turned it into Paper Girls.
Nice.
The real question is, you know, Paper Girls takes super long to, there's a song again, play out, but you're supposed to like kind of enjoy the quip and the banter along the journey. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like, do you actually, like, I want to spend time with those characters, even if I don't figure out what the heck is going on.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
It's not like only driven by the mystery, even though it is obviously driven very much by the mystery.
Okay.
And I feel like the same is meant to be here. Like, we are supposed to enjoy these creations that John Allison makes. Giant Days is basically doesn't go anywhere with any mystery. You know, it's basically just these characters and they're fun. I guess I was kept asking myself, like, are these people fun enough? Like, do I actually want to spend more time with these characters if the mystery takes this long to go anywhere?
Mm.
So the question, I don't know if you had a judgment about that.
Yeah, I don't care for these characters. I'm going to be honest.
But you liked Giant Days, right?
I did, but...
You liked it well enough.
Yeah.
It wasn't like your favorite thing ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, where's the... I don't know where I'm going with this. Where's the geeky, like, sports dude? I'm just kidding.
I understand.
I'm saying, where's the comic where I can hang out with me?
Oh, right. You want your identification character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although, maybe, I don't know. Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't care to hang out with any of these characters. Although, I will say this. I was looking at my shelf the other day, and I was like, I kind of want to read something not too wordy, so I want to read a comic book, but I don't really want to read like a superhero or anti-hero comic book, and I realized that is non-existent on my shelf. So.
Mm. Interesting. But it's not this.
Yeah.
Which makes me think that part of this, again, thinking about my mission to, make you find great comics is that you need more identification characters who are not wearing a ring that has constructs, right? Like,
yeah.
And you know, and it's not these characters, and I give you enough credit that it's not just superficial likeness, right? Like,
right,
there is something about these two main characters in By Night that it's not just that you are not a whatever,
like I never worked in a lab.
Yeah, or you're not a blue-haired woman or whatever, you know? but there's something about attitude toward the world and toward life that these characters do not, like, reflect back at you.
Yep.
Right? And that others could. You just haven't found that. You haven't read that yet.
Right.
Hmm. At least do you feel... This is going to sound dumb, but... No, not dumb, but like, do you feel glad that this is out there in the world so that blue-haired girls?
Well, yeah. No, I mean, I could see someone else liking it and saying, like, okay, comics is worth reading, you know?
Right.
So that's yeah.
Yeah. This is always a quandary for me, but it doesn't have to be, so I'm going to let it go.
Okay.
Good. So out of our three, that kind of surprised. I think if I were to have to, you know, make a guess, lay bets at the beginning, I would have been surprised that Thor would have been the one that you might add to your wait list, and yet that's the result.
And to be fair, it's really Wolverine.
So I shouldn't have been surprised if I had just seen that last splash.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, bub, welcome to the end of time. Hope you brought some beer. Right. That's really all I needed to know.
That's my character.
That's you. That's your identification character right there. Your depths are revealed. All right, man. This is fun.
Good.
We'll revisit Thor, see if it's still good, right? Yeah.
Okay.
Whether this Wolverine appearance pans out and becomes something good. Maybe we'll revisit Detective and see if it's, you know, if the Morichi little spell after the Tynan and before whoever's next is worth coming back to. Mm-hmm. We'll revisit Fantastic Four, new Fantastic Four, and reminisce on, you know, the old days. And then we will hashtag GLE1. V2.
Yep.
All right. This has been a successful waitlist session, I think.
Yeah. Good.
All right. Thanks for doing this, honey.
Yep. No problem.
Okay. All right. Take care.
Bye.